Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, even though we just got done recording with our good buddy, John. It's going to be later in the show. We play Where in the World is John Peters?
Yes, that was fun.
It was a lot of fun, and just bear with us a little bit. It's the first time, so we're ironing out some of the wrinkles on this, but we had some fun. I hope you guys enjoy it, and it'll be at the end of this show, but he's telling us it's 75 degrees and sunny, sending us pictures of where he is, and me and you're stuck in the freezing cold up here, Dan.
Yes, it's about, maybe low 30s where I am today. It's pretty chilly for getting to be mid-April here.
I mean, it's supposed to go up to almost 50 here today by the end of the day, but it's going to take its good old time. But last night, we took my mother-in-law to see good old Engelbert Humperdinck down the Golden Nugget Casino.
Ah, and still touring, huh?
Yeah, he's still touring. They liked it. The two of them went in, and I hung out in the lounge. I wasn't, going... I drove them down. I was their chauffeur. Like I've told you before, there's some areas of Atlantic City you don't want to make a wrong turn into.
Ah, right.
But, I mean, we had a good time and all, but going in and out in the parking garage,
right,
it was like a frozen tornado. I felt like I was on the on with the Deadliest Catch with the guys on the ship. That's how cold it was.
Wow.
The Bering Sea, it felt like, down Atlantic City last night. It just, now, and you don't realize how little things like that make it miserable, like going to and from the car when it's like 26 degrees out with 30 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, that's when you got to spring for the valet parking, Doug.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. It's free parking at the Nugget.
Right, right. But
yeah.
How old is Engelbert now?
79.
Oh, okay. That's old, but it's not as old as I kind of thought he might have
been. If my mother-in-law hooked up with him, he'd be a younger man.
Yeah.
She'd be robbing the cradle.
There you go.
No, but they had a great time. The two of them they said he sounded really, really good, and they enjoyed themselves. I hung out in a bar, and I realized I'm not cut out for it.
Well, you couldn't hang?
No, I did. I had a couple beers, and when the band came on, the two bands were really, really good, but the regular music was annoying. I just wanted to watch a Phillies game and drink a couple beers after a day of work. And,
right, right.
They had music like blaring in there, like the one band came on and started singing, started in the 70s, working their way to the 80s and 90s, but they did Cool and the Gang and Stevie Wonder, and they were really, really good. I was into it. I stood up and shook my booty a little bit.
Man, as much as you've been working, you're lucky you didn't fall asleep in the corner somewhere.
Dude, that's why I got up.
Right, right.
I leaning on the bar, I had to move, dude, or I'd have fell asleep on my drink.
Right, right.
Yeah, but it's no Disney World, and, it was $5.50 a beer down there last night. You know, it's the same as going to the parks.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to pay when you go out there, like we always say, you're not just paying, anybody, and they often do say, well, I could have bought a six-pack for the cost of that. Well, yeah, but you got to pay the bartender, and you got to pay the guy that carried it in, and all the
band
mother...
playing.
Yeah, exactly. So when you go out, you got to expect to pay a little bit more for products.
Exactly, but that's why I crack up when people say beers are expensive. They don't think they're expensive in Disney World. That's one of the things I really don't think is expensive.
Right.
I really don't, because if we go out and you drink and I had a nice bartender, we had a good time. It cracks you up, though, man, with the phones. I talked to the bartender last night because a group of guys and girls came in, were sitting next to me. The first thing they do is hand the bartender the phone to get their selfies taken. It's like, I said, is that, because I used to tend bar. I said, do you have to go to classes now to learn how to take selfies properly to be a bartender? Because I seen them four or five times when I was sitting there taking the pictures.
So it's just to document that they were at this place or whatever?
I guess, or just a group of, you know how it is. They just want to show they're anywhere.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So they all could be in the picture. I see.
Exactly. The four of them. The husband, right. I think it was two sisters and their one husband and boyfriend. But I was going to offer to take it, but then they gave it to the bartender, and I was glad to be out of it. Because they were good people. They were having a nutty good time.
Yeah.
No, but the Nugget's nice and all, but it wasn't like it wasn't for me. I would have rather gone to Tropicana or over to Regatta or something. It's a beautiful hotel, but they don't have enough entertainment. Like, the Tropicana has, like, normal sports bars and stuff like that in it.
Right, right.
Instead of just a lounge.
Right. This was kind of a catch-all bar where it was trying to be a little bit of everything, right?
Exactly. And like I said, the two groups that played were a good time, but... Because I love live music. That's what we talked about. We're talking about the bands last week at Walt Disney World with Journey and, you know, The Boss. And yep. I would like the Foreigner and, you know, all them groups that come in and out of that World Showcase. I love them groups.
Oh, absolutely. So. They're right in our wheelhouse at our age, right, Doug?
Exactly. They're perfect for us. And
yep.
They make us look young.
Yeah, yeah, which is a good thing. Not many things do nowadays.
Exactly, dude. I start looking. I remember my grandfather telling me, it ain't the brain, it's the body. He goes, I still feel 18, but I am not.
Right. In your head, you're 18.
Yes. You think you're all the same ways. As men, we never grow up.
Right, right.
We're always idiots. We're always going to be idiots.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
If I haven't gotten any smarter by now, I don't think I'm going to.
Exactly. I do the same stupid stuff I did when I was in my 20s in my mind.
Right, right.
I just can't complete it. So how was your week? Good?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Things are cranking away at work and just hectic times all around. But I know you're still slaving away down there at your job, working 6 days a week, right?
Oh, yeah. I never thought that I'd be happy to be only working six.
Yeah, right. You're thankful to have just the 24 hours off now, right?
Yeah, because working even self-employed for myself, I'd put in 60 or 70 during the week, but I always took the weekends off to be with Brenda.
Right.
She works all week.
Yeah. Or even if you worked a couple hours on Saturday morning or whatever, at least you have the rest of the day and night, you know, and then Sunday, obviously.
Exactly. And what's killing me now is the honey-do list is about from me at my house to yours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting bigger by the day, I'm sure.
Absolutely. With these storms, every time I turn around, a tree's falling, limbs are falling, something's breaking, something. I mean, I got days of cleaning the yard and it won't get warm enough to entice me to even go out today.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you got to get some rest, too, in all seriousness. I mean, I know you want to keep up with everything and not let it get, get behind on things. But, you know, like we were saying, we're not as young as we used to be. You got to get your rest, too.
Yeah, and this is the idiot I am. We didn't get home to 12:30, quarter of 1. I didn't fall asleep to 1:30, and I was up at 6.
Yeah, the body clock woke you up, huh?
Exactly. So what I did is, because I haven't done it in a while, before I got on with you, I cooked a family breakfast.
Ah, that was nice.
Yeah. Nice eggs over easy, sausage, and my homemade home fries.
Nice.
If you don't love me now, then if you ever had my home fries, you would.
Yeah, I think you mentioned them a bunch of shows ago, actually, that you're the home fry king.
Yeah, I love making homemade potatoes in the morning. Ain't nothing like it. Speaking of potatoes, do you like potato cakes?
Potato cakes. I don't know that I've ever had a potato cake. Like explain it. Maybe I call it something else.
It's for breakfast. What you do is you put a little flour. If you have mashed potatoes or garlic mash the night before, my grandmother always used to make them for me. You put a little flour, bread, and then you throw them in and you cook them in the morning. You make a potato cake out of it. You fry it up.
Yeah. No, I've never had them, but they sound delicious.
It is awesome, then. It's really, really good.
It sounds like you'd be making extra mashed potatoes the night before just so you did have some left over so you could have the potato cakes for breakfast.
Absolutely. And if you guys ever had them out there, you know what I'm talking about. That's one of the things. I mean, I love my grandma, my grandpa and all. I used to stay there every weekend when I was a kid. Because it was one of those deals that my parents separated, so I would get dropped off at grandmom's house, stay there Saturday night. Dad would pick me up and have me Sunday. You follow me? It was a routine. Yeah. It was my dad's mother.
Okay.
And the I dreamed about them potato cakes every Sunday morning.
Wow.
I get a bowl of M&Ms from her and potato cakes, and I was happy as could be.
What a combo that is.
Yeah, you know how grandmom's food with the candy.
Oh, it's the same thing my grandparents say. They used to have, they used to put the candy in a bread box, and of course, it, you know, at home, I never, you can't eat candy, you can't have candy, or we couldn't afford candy, or all of the above, and of course, you go over to grandma's house, and she had a bread box full of M&Ms and all that good stuff, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yep, I used to have my the spare room there, and I would go in, the candy dish would be full.
Yeah.
A glass candy dish with the M&Ms poured in it.
There you go.
Every once in a while, she'd try to trick me, but I knew they were in the house. But, you know, her potato cakes, and I make them to this day, and it makes me think of grandmom. So you got to try. I'll make you a potato cake one of these days, Dan.
All right. Yeah, we'll have to stay in a DBC villa someday, and we'll make a big breakfast one Sunday morning or something, and we'll have all this stuff.
It sounds wonderful. You get your son Matthew to make you a potato cake. I'm sure he can.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true. He's done, actually, we've done that in the villa. He's made some, a couple of breakfasts for us that were, you know, kind of like you're talking about, a family breakfast that were, was different than just the normal stuff, but yeah, that could happen.
How's he doing at Little Prince? All well?
Yeah, everything's good. He's kind of in transition now. He's actually he wrote a business plan, and he's actually looking for investors right now. He hopes to be back up here in Boston within the next year and have his own restaurant opened in the Fenway area of Boston. So we'll see.
Well, tell him he has friends in high places with the WDW Main Street podcast. We'll promote his restaurant big time.
Absolutely. But yeah,
maybe we'll get rich, Dan. We'll put the Main Street Pub in his restaurant.
Hey, that works for me. Actually, I'd wish you'd move south to Florida. That's me.
Well,
no,
hey,
we're glad to have
him into it.
Yeah, I've been trying.
Yeah, we'll tell him Pop and Uncle Doug's headed down to Florida. We need the pub down there.
That would be nice.
So, you ready to get into a little news so everybody's not bored with our lives, Dan?
Yeah, we'll move on here. I actually heard this, or I got a text yesterday, but anyways, Ample Hills Creamery confirmed for Disney's Boardwalk. A new premium ice cream store will open this spring on Disney's Boardwalk. And if you remember when the candy store, when the candy store closed there, we wondered if something else would open up, and it's not a one-for-one change out, but at least it is sweets related. But yeah, they confirmed that this Ample Hills Creamery will be opening. If you remember, Ample Hills Creamery has a Disney connection via Disney CEO Bob Iger, and even secured a license to produce a Star Wars ice cream. Signature creations will include ooey gooey butter cake, coffee toffee coffee, malty salty pretzel punch.
That sounds good.
Cotton candy and special one of the kind flavor developed exclusively for Walt Disney World. Ample Hills Creamery ice cream is made by hand using grass fed cow's milk with organic cane sugar, and even the mix-ins are made in-house from scratch, very much like a bakery. An on-stage kitchen will face the boardwalk, giving guests a look at the ice cream making process. The new store will be open in the former ESPN Club Arcade next to the boardwalk bakery. The area's original ice cream store, Seashore Sweets, closed earlier this year. So yeah, this we did get something in return, which I thought we might, and I'm glad to hear this. What about you?
Absolutely. They took away my arcade. I did like the arcade a little bit, but I'm getting older. I don't go there as much. And as we're walking from over to the Swan and Dolphin or the Boardwalk over to Yacht and Beach Club. I mean, over to Yacht and Beach Club, or headed to Hollywood Studios, grab an ice cream, and I'll be a happy kid. the thing is, the Sunshine Suites was taken over by the Flying Fish, so this the ice cream place had to take over the arcade. That's the way it came out.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing an expansion there at the Flying Fish, so that made sense. And, you know, I'm just wondering how, you know, I see this as a win-win. Not only do we get the ice cream store stand at the boardwalk, but it should relieve some of the pressure on Beaches and Cream, you know, the other famous ice cream place on the other side of the waterway there, so that I'm not going to say it's going to be easy to get in there, but it should be a little bit easier to get in there where people have this other option over at the boardwalk now.
Yeah, if you're not in the mood for a kitchen sink, go over to the boardwalk. I mean, if you're doing walk-up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait in line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
get your ice cream on.
Yeah, yeah. I see, and this is just me, I rarely get ice cream when I'm in Disney World because there's just so many other good options to have. I hate to waste it on ice cream, as bizarre as that sounds. But
when I get it, the crazy time I get it usually is, well, last time I got the Dole Whip and it almost...
Yeah, it almost killed you.
I literally thought I was having a heart attack. I've never had any feeling like that before. That's how cold it was. It was ridiculous. Was great though. I did it to myself like three or four times. How crazy! My wife grabbed it out of my hand. That's enough of this.
Right, right.
But it tasted so good.
You couldn't help yourself.
No, and my buddy Robbie was down there last week and said it was gone from the Magic Kingdom.
The Dole Whip?
Yeah, he said he couldn't find it.
Huh. I know it's bounced around. It's moved. Everything going on, but I didn't. I thought it was still there, but...
Yeah, I could be wrong, so don't go crazy, but he was just texting me back. I said, listen, Rob, if you can't find it and you really need it, hop on the monorail and head over to the Polynesian, you get it.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have to...
Yeah, because he said he hasn't had a trip without it in 20 years or whatever. It's like he has to do it every trip. It's tradition. So he was getting
all bummed out.
He was texting me.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I sent him over to the Poly. He was all happy.
Yep. Yeah, that new location there right outside on the ground level. You can get your Dole Whip and Dole Whip float and all that good stuff. And hop, like you said, on the monorail and over you go.
Yeah, but like I was saying earlier, you said you don't usually fill up on it. When I usually get the ice cream, a lot of times it's around 11 o'clock at night or 12 when I head back to the room.
Yeah. Yeah, not that that's the best time to eat it, but I know what you mean. Probably your dinner has worn off a little bit, and whatever you did for the evening, maybe you're not hungry, but you certainly can get some ice cream down, right?
Yeah, nice little sweet, little bit. I don't get anything huge, just nice little tasty end of night.
Right, no, that's a great idea.
And the wife can't pick on me too much because it's vacation.
Yeah, right, right. There's no calories in Disney World. We all know that.
There's dirty looks, but there's no calories.
Yeah, yeah, there's lots of things. All right, let's see. Moving right along here. Flights of Wonder at Disney's Animal Kingdom remains closed for a new roof installation. The refurbishment began on January 25th and was originally expected to reopen to guests on March 18th. There have been various delays since then, and the current reopening is scheduled for April 17th, 2016. So I don't think this is anything major. They probably just, you know, got into it a little bit more, or maybe found that they had to do a little bit more prep work or what have you. So I'm not concerned about this at all.
It's called construction, not completion.
Yeah.
What we're going through over these buildings, man. It's going to be we're going to be out of there on time, but then there's going to be a month or two of pulling everything that was skipped back together, if you follow me.
Right.
Well, Disney don't usually skip anything.
No, they do a fairly good job at hitting their dates, and although we're going to contradict that with a couple of the stories later in the show, but no, by and large, they definitely hit their dates right on.
Well, all I care about, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be talk about me, talk about I, but I'm just going to be happy that it'll be open when I'm down there. That's all I care about.
That's what it's all about.
I love Flights of Wonder. I'll get your butt in there next trip.
Yeah, it's been years since I've seen that, but it is a great show. Let's see here. Huge upgrade to FastPass Plus begins this weekend. Let's see here. Beginning April 10th, 2016, once a guest uses their first three FastPass Plus selections, additional selections can be made from the My Disney Experience app and will no longer will no longer only be available from an in-park kiosk. The same rule applies as before, with the fourth becoming available once the first three have been used, and then the fifth becomes available once the fourth has been used, and so on. It will no longer be necessary to choose all FastPass Plus selections at the same time with My Disney Experience app or website. Individual selections can be made, and it will no longer be a requirement to choose three experiences. Only one or two can be made if needed. Unfortunately, there has been no change to the requirement of choosing all three FastPass Plus selections from the same park. But after the first three have been used, the additional FastPass Plus selection can be at a different park. So, you see this as an improvement, or...
Yeah, if they start giving us park hoppers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, start with that, and then we can worry about the... Yeah. I guess it would make no sense if you don't have a park hopper, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like the idea that you could do, you know, do one and then do your other three at the next park. You follow me? So you're not having to do all three at one park and then schedule later, you know what I mean? Have to go to a kiosk at the other. So it will make traveling for or park hopping for me and Brenda good. But for people that don't have park hopper, don't make any difference.
Nope, they're stuck where they are, or they're just gonna have to get a fast pass for the park they happen to be at for that day.
Yeah, exactly. But I do like the upgrades. I like the idea you don't have to go to the kiosk. But I hope they keep the kiosk there because there are so many people running into trouble trying to get the stuff working. You know,
yeah,
getting their fast passes. Good to have help.
Yeah, good to have a person there. You're exactly right, Doug. And I would think they'll stay for the foreseeable future. I think eventually they might, as people get more comfortable and the whole program's rolled out and people got a few years under their belt, they may get rid of them. But I can't see that happening now because you're right. People get very confused.
Exactly. I mean, you need all the help you can sometimes. Things freeze up or, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
I've had crazy stuff happen to me. I'm computer savvy.
Right.
And I know you've had some...
Oh, yeah.
...blips on the radar that you thought you had something and you don't have it.
Yeah, or it was there the day before and you go to look at it. That happened to me once with an ADR. I mean, I know I made it. I know I had it. I had the number and everything, and I went to go on my app, and it just wasn't in the system, and... Come to find out after calling or whatever I did, oh, yeah, we can see it here. You just can't see it. And, you know, it was all okay and everything. But I was freaking out for a while because it was, one of our signature dinners that we had, and it didn't exist.
Yeah, with me, it was my Disney experience with Toy Story, your favorite ride.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. But Donna or Brenda didn't have the experience on their phone. I'm the one that set the fast pass for it, and it showed them two as having fast pass and me not.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So we got there, they end up letting us on. They like manually walked us up and put us on.
And we all know that, like the old way with the old hard fast passes where, you know, if you complain enough or they get sick of listening to your whine, they'd just print you out some passes and just say go. At some point they just cut their losses and say it's not worth it. They can do that even with the new system too.
Yeah, and with this here, the girl goes, listen, dude, we're going to clear you out, we'll walk you over, put you on, and then you can get new ones after you're off. And
yeah,
it worked out because I said, I'm the one that's running it. I was on here yesterday, like you were saying, and now today we come and it's showing that we're broken apart as a group, and I'm the one that started the group and got the tickets. I run this thing.
Right.
And she knew I knew what I was talking about because of being a TA, I know it inside and out.
Right. There's a, what do they call it? Not a point person, but there's like a, whatever they use, the name they use for it is the person that sets up everything. And
yeah, the leader.
Leader or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right.
The group leader.
Right. But yeah, I'm always the leader in my family, too, because no one else wants to mess with it.
Plus, me and you could never allow it. Dude.
Right. You got to have control at all times.
When it's Disney, dude,
right,
especially.
Right. I mean, anywhere else, I could care less. I'll just go along for the ride. But Disney, I'm all over it.
Yeah, we'd be both feel like we were shunned if we we would never have it. And if somebody else did it, we would be contradicting them and taking over anyway. So even if the other people in our families want to do it, they know they have no choice.
Right.
They just cut their losses with us two idiots.
Yep. Just say we're going to run the show and don't worry about a thing.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see here. What do we want to do here. Star Wars Land set to be built on the former backlot area, and this is being asked in the form of a question. Overnight, Disney has added the originally released concept art of Star Wars Land to the construction wall by the writer's stop at the Streets of America. If you go online, you'll be able to see this, not that the listeners can see it. Let's see here. If the positioning of the artwork is hinting at what is to come behind the walls, then it seems Star Wars Land will be built on the back lot and not take up the Echo Lake, Indiana Jones area as previously thought. In the Echo Lake scenario, the back lot was expected to be home to an unannounced Phase 3 expansion of the park. Adding even more weight to this theory is that the new Toy Story Land concept art released on Sunday, a second land appears on the left edge, which appears to be that of Star Wars. Its position puts it on the Streets of America area. So, this is conjecture at this point. I wouldn't go to the bank with any of this, but people are, as they often do with Disney, they're, you know, picking up a couple of pictures, a couple clues, and putting two and two together and coming out with 27. So,
exactly.
That's what, you know, the at least some folks are saying today, but who knows what it'll ultimately it will be.
Myself, I'm thinking that they wouldn't have cut off the writer's stop. They wouldn't have shut down the Osborne lights if they weren't doing something. What reason would they have to cut the Osborne light show if they're, especially if the park needs things to do? There needs to be something to draw you there.
Right.
So I don't get why they'd remove all that if they weren't taking that space up for something else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unless it's going to be, you know, I think we mentioned in last week's show and the week before that, you know, this, they're not calling it Muppets Land, but where Muppets is staying. Yeah, I mean, maybe in lieu of Star Wars being on the footprint, maybe that a added presence of Muppets and Muppet-related things are going to come in that area. I mean, it's just a guess. I have no idea. But
the way the article read that maybe there's not going to be a Phase 3. Yeah, there's going to be a phase over there. I don't know if it's going to be 1, 2, or 3,
yeah.
But there's something going to be built where the Streets of America are, because that's all being,
right.
It's not what it used to be.
Right. Yeah.
They're doing nothing with it. I don't see those buildings being there. I think I might have seen them buildings. If not my last trip, this one coming up, I think it's the last time I'm going to see them buildings in my lifetime.
Right, and we were even saying before all this was announced, I mean, they kind of stopped taking care of them, and they, you know, wouldn't let you on the stairs to take pay. You remember all the odd stuff that was going on, even the year prior to all these big announcements? I mean, it's almost like they had come to grips with the fact that they were a goner, and I still think that's the case, and, you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're leaving all that stuff. Apparently, I think what's going to happen is Star Wars Land is the building is going to definitely be starting back where the backlot tour was, because they just cleared all that.
Right, right.
You know, they're definitely starting back there. So I think right now what's going to happen is they'll start back there, then they'll work their way over to Toy Story and do all that. Then they'll do the final phase. The reason they redid Pizza Safari and all that stuff is to keep people away from the other side.
Right. You mean the Toy Story pizza there?
Yeah, the new pizza. Right. Yeah, Pizza Safari. Hello, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the Animal Kingdom like an idiot. Yeah, but the new pizza, where the remodel of Pizza Planet over there by that whole area, I think they redid that to have something else actually done in the park for now.
Yeah.
And I eventually think Indiana Jones and all that other area is eventually going to go after they get built what they need to get built with all the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's been what, you know, us and others have been saying since day one. But, I mean, to date, unless I'm mistaken, you know, there's been no announcement on Indiana Jones other than, you know, the new movie's coming out or will be coming out soon. And, you know, we've gone back and forth and how important that facility is for other reasons. But, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to say that it's going to it's going to survive all these, you know, Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land being built at the studios.
And the thing is, Star Wars Land, I mean, it's still, that's years away.
Right.
Still 2-3 years away by the time, 4 years before completion. So,
exactly.
So that area over there, they needed to clean up around Muppets and all and keep it actually active to make people go through. I'm surprised, like the writer stopped, got it. Like, they gave it a reprieve right now, but it ain't going to last till me and you get down there in the fall.
Right. It almost seems like it's so, not insignificant, but it's such a small footprint. It seems like they could have kept it active for a little longer and let everybody say their, you know, farewells at least for the next year or two, right?
Exactly. And so me and you could enjoy it one more time.
Yeah, because after all, it's all about us.
Exactly. Now you got it right, buddy.
Right. Let's see here. So moving right along. New entertainment stage completed at Epcot's Germany Pavilion. And looking online, it looks like a cuckoo clock to me or something to that effect. But it looks pretty neat. Located in the space that was previously used for food and wine festival kiosks, it features a small stage and a viewing area. Epcot has recently been experimenting with new entertainment acts on short-term engagements. And it may well be Germany will soon be hosting new entertainment in addition to the Beer Garden Band that is only available to diners at the restaurant. So
I suspected some Lederhosen.
Yeah. This it looks pretty neat, and
it looks like a front porch missing a house.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to describe it. Yeah, that would be perfect for, you know, a little band or whatever they're going to have out there, and it's kind of set back off the main World Showcase. You know,
it kind of sits back, kind of like the United Kingdom stage is back on Tudor Lane. It's off the beaten path a little bit.
Yeah, that's nice. And if this is going to be the trend that they're going to bring in these, what did they say, short-term engagement acts and kind of cycle them out regularly, I mean, that's probably a good thing. You'd see something fresh maybe each time, and maybe you'll have, not just bands, but you might have other entertainers or storytellers or combination thereof. Who knows? It gives it leaves all options open for some sort of entertainment to be out there, in this case, in the Germany Pavilion.
Maybe Off-Kilter can change their name to Off-Lederhosen.
There you go. And whatever it takes. Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Have some beer steins in their hand and go over there and perform.
Yeah. No one will ever notice.
Exactly.
Let's see here. The final performance of Lights, Motors, Action Extreme Stunt Show. I guess April 2nd was the final day to see it. If you were there, you would have saw it at the studios. Kind of, you know, bittersweet here, and as much of a hard time as I give it, and you're much more friendly to it than I am, it is sad to see an attraction close, regardless of how much you've liked it or maybe didn't care for it, but it's still something that I'm sure your family has experienced, and good, bad, or indifferent, it's going to be gone and you're never going to see it again. So what say you about the Lights, Motors, Action, Doug? You going to miss it at all?
Oh, absolutely. I liked it a lot more than you. I liked it would have been a show that I would have seen a lot more if it wasn't for my wife.
Right.
And it was nothing that Brenda, and let me put it this way, it ain't nothing that she ever told me now.
Right.
But I didn't want to put her through it, because I know it wasn't her cup of tea.
Right.
You know, she enjoyed it the couple times we've seen it, but the point of it is the seating was the worst part of it. We've droned on about it on the show. But I just wish it would have been a more comfortable area to sit and relax and been cooler. I would have enjoyed it more. But just the thought that everything was live and they had to get all that right every single show, and they did, was amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, there was different, as you well know, facets to it. I mean, it's not just the cars driving around on the roadways, but you got the stunt guys falling off the buildings. You got the guy with the watercraft there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different,
moving parts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there was a lot going on most times once you get through the beginning part of it. But, you're right. They have to be right on each and every performance. And, I guess there's a certain
amount. Dude, I have a hard enough time keeping my lawnmower running every week, let alone having every car run perfect.
Right.
No flats, the cycle starting. Dude, I used to race motocross when I was a kid. Dude, have you ever had a motorcycle?
Yes.
Two-stroke motors, are they the most annoying engines ever?
Very temperamental.
Exactly. I mean, so I used to race motocross and ride bikes as a kid all the way up until my late teens. And you'd have it running perfect for a week, and all of a sudden you parked it, you cleaned it, you put it in the garage, you go out and it don't start. And you don't know why. Just the amazing fact that show, every time I seen it, 8, 10 times, I don't know, I've seen it quite a few times, and I've never heard many people complaining that it didn't go off.
Right. No, I mean, I've never heard of complaints, and I'm going to say probably 5 or 6 times I've seen it over the years. It went off, without a hitch each and every time. So props to those people. You're right. It's a huge undertaking and a huge show. A lot of different vehicles and actors and like I said, stunt people and all kinds of
getting
stuff.
Lit on fire, jumping through hoops. I mean, I hit a speed bump, and I'm worried my car's breaking, and these guys are jumping rain. I'm just saying, to put that show on every day, multiple times a day,
right,
and the only complaint you get is about the seat, it's right. Pretty good.
Exactly. And if I'm not mistaken, that came from Disneyland Paris, I believe. That come from over? I believe it did. When they brought different rides to different parks, I believe that was their contribution to the...
That was back in the millennium, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2000?
Yeah, I remember.
It's crazy that long ago.
I know. It's scary that's that long ago. I keep thinking it's just a few years ago, but those years are quickly melted away. That's for sure.
My goodness. I feel them every time I climb up the scaffold.
Yes.
But speaking of years, as we're doing this, we want to congratulate Mike and them, Mike, Ricky, and Pam over at the Be Our Guest podcast. They're going to be doing their 1,000th episode on Monday. So,
wow.
Congratulations to them guys.
Yes, congratulations to them guys. And those of you that listen to this show know that Doug and I were big supporters of their show early on, and we're one of the original supporters, and then we caught the bug from them, you could say. So we really enjoy those guys, or have enjoyed them, and continuing to enjoy them on a weekly basis. They do a great job over there.
Absolutely. And we're coming up on 250, and I was telling you they're hitting 1,000.
Yeah, we're our little engine here is chugging right along, and we're in their wake, I guess.
And also, guys, as I'm on my soapbox here, we want to apologize for the audio the last couple of weeks. We've been having problems. Skype did an update and wiped all of our settings out. It was just a nightmare, so I apologize. But it was either not give you a show, I was back and forth on putting it out, and we decided to put it out anyway, and it wasn't up to standards, but we wanted you to have a show. Because I was getting yelled at for not having 2 shows. I didn't want to not have any.
Right. Yeah, it is frustrating. As frustrating as it is for you guys to listen to, believe me, it's even more frustrating, particularly for Doug, who does all of the, mixing and puts the show out. Each time we put a show out, he's a perfectionist, and it kills him to put out anything that's less than perfect. So, believe me, we're trying on this end, and I think going forward, we should have things pretty well worked out.
Yeah, we got a new computer coming in. I'm going to be working on that, And sorry, Judith, I wasn't trying to pick on you, hon. We love you for your great friend of the show. I was only teasing you.
Yes.
But, we really wanted to sound the best we can, and I don't want to cry with my work schedule and all, but it's been aggravating trying to fix the computer when I'm putting in 80 hours a week.
Right. But, yeah, you don't have the patience that you normally do when you're fresh and you're working a more, a regular work week and not an insane work week like you have been.
Exactly. My wife was asking me, why do you need a hammer and a screw gun to be working on the computer, huh?
Yeah. Or a sledgehammer, right?
Exactly. I had my good old 16-ounce hammer here ready to break some things.
Yeah.
But the show's getting back to – it'll be back to normal, guys. We apologize.
Yep. Yeah, so
next piece, buddy.
Moving right on, Disney Early Morning Magic Package gets you early access to Fantasyland. Beginning April 26, Disney Early Morning Magic gives guests access to Fantasyland at 7:45 a.m. and includes breakfast at Pinocchio House, Pinocchio Village House. The breakfast menu includes seasonal fruits, fresh baked pastries, scrambled eggs, veggie frittatas, smoked bacon, pork and sausages. Yeah, I'll be all right. Pork and turkey sausages and waffles. A limited number of attractions will be available, including Peter Pan's Flight, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Disney Early Morning Magic costs $69 for adults and $59 for children ages 3 to 9 plus tax, in addition to your regular theme park admission. You can order now. Dates available so far are April 26th and 30th, May 3rd, 7th, 14th, 17th, 21st, 24th, 28th, 31st, June 4th, 7th, 11th, 14th, 18th, 21st, 25th, 28th. Extra magic hours will continue as normal, and Disney Early Morning Magic Days will not be held on morning extra magic hour days. Another premium package, Disney After Hours, was announced last month, giving access to the park after regular park closing. So interesting that at least initially they're not going to mess with the, the early morning. Now I'm going to get them wrong here.
Extra magic hours.
But I wouldn't hold my breath going forward as to how many of those extra magic hour days will no longer be, and they'll replace it with these Disney early morning magic days.
Yeah, well, I can't believe on May 3rd, 7th, 14th, 17th, 21st, 24th, 28th, or 31st that this time last year, one of those days was an extra magic hour.
Right.
Magic
we'd have to go back and look at last year's park map and all that, but you're right, Doug. I think this, they're putting a good spin on it here, but I think the days of extra magic hours in the morning and in the night are in jeopardy or in play in lieu of these new paid offerings that they have.
Oh, absolutely. What's it going to be for when the Animal Kingdom and Avatar Land and Star Wars Land and Toy Story? For an extra $500, you can get in there early, and Star Wars nuts will pay it.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just every time we turn around and, this is, it's just another knock that they're trying to get more money out of you.
Yep. Just another incremental increase and take a little bit something away here and add some dollars to a program here. And well, we've ranted and raved about that in general across property, and that seems to be the trend lately, but that's what it is.
I mean, would you pay this?
Would I personally pay this? Absolutely not.
Throwing a couple characters, Disney, right, at the Pinocchio house, maybe.
Yeah, but see, I guess it all depends on what appeals to you. And that's a great question. Would you pay this? And I say no, because of the attractions that are involved. It's Fantasyland. My kids are older. I would do those attractions if the timing was right and I happen to be there, but I wouldn't pay an extra $69 or whatever it is. However, if they offered a similar program and said, during Food and Wine, World Showcase opens at 11, if you pay an extra $50, we're going to open up at 9, just say, I might do that, because that appeals to me. So I couldn't say unequivocally that, I would never pay extra above and beyond my theme park admission to go to a Disney, do something. Because if the circumstances were right and it appealed to me, I might. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I would never do this for $69. Never, ever, ever.
Right.
It just,
on principle.
Exactly. And the thing of it is it really don't matter to me if I get on. I like a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That's why I have Fast Pass. You're going to take them away. I mean, eventually, I guess it's going to be $10 a Fast Pass.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what they're going towards.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point. I mean, you hate the whan, but it's like, every time you turn around, it's one of these deals. Like, I could go without getting on any of these rides. It wouldn't kill me if I went my vacation without getting on it.
Right.
I mean, how many times? I bet you more times than not I haven't done Peter Pan and Winnie the Pooh just because I'm not waiting in those lines.
Oh, right. I mean, I've gone multiple trips in a row without doing either of them. And that's why I said to me that package isn't a big deal, because they're not attractions that appeal to me. I could care less. Mine Train, yes, of course. But like you said, I know I'm going to have, on every trip, I'm going to do it at least once with one of my Fast Passes on a Magic Kingdom day. So as long as I do it once on a trip, I'm good.
But one of the things of staying on property was extra magic hours and all. I mean, it was all part of the magic of it. I mean, they're slowly charging you more and giving you less. And this isn't the Disney way. I think that's why What's-His-Face stepped down.
Oh, right, right. Where the Jay Rasulo was it, that he was the heir apparent. And I guess he's moving on to greener pastures. Is that what I read?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just Tom Scott, Tom Staggs.
Oh, okay.
Tom Staggs.
He was the number two guy.
Yes, he was supposed to take over for Iger in a couple years. And I mean, I don't know the man from Adam, but why would you? Well, the Parks are thriving at their absolute most. I don't think he liked the direction things were going. But Staggs had been with the company for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that name. Oh, since I've been interested in Disney, I've heard that name. And he's been
exactly.
There.
He's more old school. Bob Iger, which has done a lot of great things, but Bob Iger isn't Walt Disney.
No.
Bob Iger didn't have – he wasn't like what's-his-face from John Lasseter, where he drank the Kool-Aid since he's been a little kid.
Right, right.
And I'm happy with all this. Bob Iger's done incredible with Star Wars and Marvel, the whole nine yards. I love all that.
Oh, and Pixar.
Exactly. Then combining them too, and I like the idea of John Lasseter help run the parks and all that stuff. But it's like Joe Rohde and John Lasseter need to grab Bob Iger and shake him and say, "Yo, guy, you're ruining everything that was built over the last 50 years,
yeah,
or 60 years." It's a diamond anniversary, and they expect us all to pay diamond anniversary prices now.
I know. Yeah, and I mean, it's too bad because it's the, you know, like you mentioned, Rohde and the people that, you know, the Imagineers, I guess, that design and create all this, these great attractions and theme parks. You know, it just like, you know, like Walt always said, he never worried about the money and he worried about the creativity and telling a story. But unfortunately, there's the other side of it, the bean counters, like, you know, Walt's brother Roy was, and they worry about this stuff and they worry about profits and having money. And the two often collide, unfortunately. And that's just the way it is.
The thing of it is, Dan, you lease your car, right?
I do.
Okay, so second year of your lease, if they called up and said, bring it in for service. And you go to take it back, and the cruise control and the radio's gone. Would you be happy?
No.
But you still got to pay the same payment every month.
Right, right.
No, we're taking the air out in the third year.
Right.
You have to pay extra for the – or no, Dan, you're going to pay extra. You signed a three-year lease. Like us, you're buying your annual pass.
Right.
But a lot of the stuff's being taken away. You buy your annual pass, you no longer get extra magic hours. And with all these parties going on, is it worth the same amount?
Oh, no, it's definitely devalued in my view. I mean, you know, we can go back 10, 15 years. I mean, you always stick up for me with DVC. I mean, at one point when you bought DVC, we're going to talk about a related story here in a bit, but you used to get an annual pass with being a DVC member in the early years of DVC. I mean, you know, so perks, I guess, if you want to call them, are taken away all the time. It's been going on forever, and it's never popular. And, you know, it's not hurt me, but I mean, it's changed the way I've been able to vacation at Disney World. And it's great while you have them, and when they're gone, it's lousy. And you pay the same, or in this case, you pay more and get less.
And I know our buddy Liam said stop the whining, and I appreciate it. But yeah, we got to mention this stuff when it keeps going. And the point of it is you should be getting something for being DVC. And now they're even to go into that next story. They're taking things away from people who buy aftermarket.
Right, right. Yeah, I just, and we will go into that story, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Doug, but I just wanted to mention before we get over the River of Lights story there, I don't know if you read on the Disney Parks blog, but I found it fascinating. So the story was, I'll read the story and then you can comment on it because I'm sure you saw it too. But let's see here. Disney has just announced the Rivers of Light has been delayed and will not open on April 22nd, 2016, as originally planned. A further update will be provided by mid to late May, according to the post on the official Disney Parks blog. As part of the announcement, Disney provided some new rehearsal footage of the Tree of Life Awakening, which will take place throughout the evening. Did you watch the video, or did you not?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It awoke me.
Oh, yeah. But my point in this was, I don't know if you scrolled through the comments when that story was released, but people were outraged. It went on. There must have been, and I'm not even exaggerating, 20 to 30 comments within an hour of this story coming out on Disney Parks blog. People furious saying that they specifically booked a vacation to Walt Disney World to see this, this, what do you call it? This, Rivers of Light,
River of Light.
show, and they were just all over Disney saying you never should have announced the date if you weren't certain about it. I went on and on and on, and people weren't, they weren't swearing or they weren't, being vulgar or anything, but they were genuinely upset at Disney over this delay. And I was just curious as to what you thought about the delay and, how you would, just what your reaction is to it, I guess.
I understand it, but the thing of it is that's why I'm going in the fall.
Because it's all about you.
No, but I know how this, with me, I know how this stuff works. They when you're building something like this high, things get stopped, and it's not always up to you. Sometimes it's up to inspectors, up to guards. There's too many moving parts to 100% plan your trip that something's going to be open on a certain day.
Oh, absolutely. I personally agree with everything you just said. Anybody that, especially when you're dealing with, it's not like they're building something they have somewhere else in the world. I mean, this is a brand new show, all new technology. Well, it's existing.
It's a prototype, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So there are so many things to work out, and the issues with the animals being there and sound deadening and to not scare them. And like you said, permitting, all kinds of stuff. I mean, you got wetlands there, the Environmental Protection Agency, who knows what kind of curveballs could have been thrown their way. So I get it. I mean, I agree with you.
I feel horrible for the people.
I do too. But, this is just me personally. And if anybody out there is, had planned a trip or is in agreement with what those folks were saying, I say, you plan a trip or, you wanted to see it. But I mean, your expectation should be that something could go wrong and this might not happen. And, Disney can't help it. I mean, put it this way. They didn't purposely do this to aggravate their guests. I mean, I'm sure they did everything they could to make this happen. And for whatever reason, and we may or may not ever find out what the reason or reasons were. But I mean, like you said, Doug, things happen. There's delays. There's things. I wouldn't hold Disney as accountable as some of these people were, because, like you said, Doug, it's construction and it's especially doing it within a theme park with animals in it. It's just there's too many variables.
Absolutely, there could be something as still silly as one of the boats. The wind is tipping it too much, or not making it safe, or it's not staying on course. You don't know until everything looks great on paper.
Right.
And then when you all come together, things just don't work out. Like the job we're working on right now, there's 500 lights that go in this wall. They're like panel lights that drop in. The guys go in to install the lights, and every one of them, the holes need to be cut another half inch. Now you got 500 lights that one guy is going through every floor to cut an extra half inch in the dry. Now that's time, and that's just one thing.
Right.
I'm just using it as and there's another 500 of them on top of it.
Oh man,
it's just how it works. I mean, and this is different. What they're doing is basically a prototype. What we're doing has been done for the last 100 years or 50 years doing drywall and construction.
Right.
And I couldn't imagine making something like this and bringing it all together that somebody thought up in their head.
Right. Like say they came out with a new product that wasn't sheetrock, but it went together differently than mud and tape. And, you would be learning it for the first time, it wouldn't be the same as, a sheetrock job.
I couldn't give a timetable.
Right. You'd have to say, hey, I got to let me work with the stuff and see what happens and, how it dries, how it sets up, how quickly it cures, whatever the issues are. I mean, again, and I'm not trying to be an apologist with Disney. I'm really not. But I just, again, if you, Doug, or, any of the listeners out there, scroll through the comments under the story on Disney Box Blog. People were just furious.
I just did. Some people are starting to come down now and say they were very, very disappointed, but I want you to make it right. But they're like, I think some of them felt bad for the harsh comments that they did make. But the bottom line is, you can't. 90% of construction jobs come in not on time.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
They open up, but there's always – how many times at your school, Dennis, the dorms open, but there were still workers in the building for weeks past what they were
supposed to do? I've had painters painting going out the back door as the parents are dropping off the kids at the front door. It's been that close. And
it was – nobody did anything wrong.
Right.
It's just Mother Nature. Like, we're having problems with the building drying, and you don't know what's going on. The storms, and there could have been a storm in China that was making a part for them that they're not getting apart now.
Yeah, it could be a whole host of things. But I guess, you know, could kind of go on the other side of the fence, though. But Disney, they're used to this, and they've done this, and they've opened many of an attraction, the Mine Train, a couple of years ago. Usually, and if you think about it,
they come
early. Usually they do it the other way, and they leave so much of a buffer in there that they actually open it early and exceed guests' expectations. So, you know, I don't know. I just
the difference with this, though, is then Mother Nature has a lot to do with the way the light stream. There's a lot of more variables than just building the mine train.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, they
it runs on a track and it works. Right. You know, it's basically under a controlled environment. Right. See, what happens is, like with illuminations, you don't think when they were doing that, worrying about the fireworks blowing and all that. There's certain things that you got to make sure you can control. And I'm sure it has something to do with the outside atmosphere or something going on around the parks more than something being broken. Something had to be changed. I think under testing, they probably realized something could happen to something to either performers or somebody in the audience,
is my guess.
And it's just me speculating.
Yeah, and they're never going to allow that, and nor should they allow that. I mean, safety comes first. You know, safety of the guests and the cast members that work there, and certainly the animals that live there. I mean, all three of those things need to happen before anything happens, in my view.
Exactly.
But anyways, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just was a little...
I feel bad for the people who did book.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know... Easy for me to say because I didn't book a trip to go down specifically for this, but you know, I guess I'd be disappointed if I was, you know, hinging my whole trip on seeing this show. And you know, whether you're the first person to see it or you see it 5 days after it opens or 2 weeks after it opens, to me, what's the difference? You know, I'm going to see it, and I know, and I'm looking forward to it. But I don't know. I just thought some of the people were just going to be a little over the top with their outrage at Disney for this issue.
Yeah, see, me and Brent never want to be there opening day of any of this stuff, and it's just my own selfishness. I figure if we go down in the fall and see it, because that's when I plan on going, somewhere around, hopefully you. And but the way I look at it is, if I wait a few months, it's going to be running like Disney will have it running like a fine oiled machine.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there while they're ironing out the kinks. By the time I get there, everything will be ironed. I can get my meal at Tiffin's and go sit my butt down and watch a beautiful show.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great strategy. A lot of people do that. I mean, I equate it to the iPhones. Like, every time there's a new iPhone, you get the people that run out and stand in line overnight.
I'm always a phone behind.
Right? And then there's other people that say, you know what? It's a new iPhone. I'm going to wait 6 months. Let them recall them and, you know, get all the bugs worked out. Then I'll buy one, you know? So... one isn't more right than the other, but I understand your strategy, Doug.
Yeah, I'd rather wait. The same thing with the Mine Train. I let Fantasyland open a few months. I didn't want to deal with it because we're not people. I love people, but I'm not a people person.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be there with the 500,000 of your closest friends, right?
No, and the thing of it is, see, this is why I don't like – I love people but don't like people. This is what I don't like. You go there on 4th of July. And you know you're going there on 4th, and you're going to piss and moan about the crowd. You're going to go to opening day of Mine Train, and you're going to piss and moan that you got a 3-hour wait.
You did it to yourself.
Exactly. I mean, it'd be like me hitting my thumb with a hammer on purpose and saying I'm mad because it's black and blue.
Right.
It did it. But that's my point. It's like, that's what aggravates me. See, it wouldn't aggravate me waiting because I enjoy the queue. But I just don't like all the pissing and moaning going on around me. You know, everybody complaining and getting aggravated, and then their kids are throwing themselves on the ground and screaming in my ear.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know your kids are impatient. You know, I'm sorry. You don't need to be taking a 4 or 5-year-old to opening day of anything, really.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, and that's a whole nother story. I mean, just the fact of bringing a kid to Disney World, period. You know, what age? Maybe we'll do a show on that at some point. You know, what age is the right age? Is 6 months okay? Is it a year, 2 years, 5, 7?
Well, up to a couple years is more for the parent than it is for the kid, and I get it. You want to experience and have them grow there the whole 9 yards. But when they start acting up, take them back to the room. It's everybody's place. It's not just yours.
Exactly. And some people are good about that, and others don't care and will infringe on your family's happiness at the, you know, at your, well, I guess at your expense that you got to put up with what their kids are up to.
Exactly. How many times you stood in the outside line and you got to hear the people, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. And then the kids are, it's hot, it's hot. We know
you're
it's hot.
You're in Florida.
That's where you're at. I mean, that's the stuff that drives me insane. So that's why I stay away from crowds. Because I'll go to them, because this is my mouth. Really? What was your first clue when you came to Florida? The Sunshine State? Did that have any, I mean, it's hot here. It's like, so I find myself getting involved.
Yeah.
So, and that's what bothers me. It's like we know you're miserable. We're all miserable. But do you have to sit there and make it worse?
Right. Yeah, you have them habitual complainers, and no matter what you do, they're going to exhibit those their feelings, and you're right. You know, and I'm sure you've gotten frustrated, as have I, at the parks and different things, and maybe you have a little short fuse because you're overtired after 4 days of touring or whatever, but, you know, sometimes you just got to step back, take a deep breath, and just say, you know what, I'm not at work. I'm in Florida. I'm at Disney World. Yeah, I got a long line to wait in. Or yeah, you know, whatever the issue is, it's aggravating you at the moment. But, you know, the big picture, things are pretty good. So, you know, get over it.
Well, that's what Brenda tells me to put my Disney voice on and my Disney personality. Because literally, when I'm there in lines, I don't complain.
Right.
It's what it's about.
Right. It's part of.
It's like complaining at a baseball game that it's slow.
Right.
You went there to sit and relax. I mean, it's just, that's what I don't get. I mean, just don't go. I mean, but that's why I don't go. I wait, let everybody get there, let the crowds get over with. There's always crowds at Disney now, but opening day of anything is ridiculous, and it never usually lives up to what it should be because you're so aggravated by everything else going on.
Oh,
that's just
absolutely,
my point.
Absolutely.
So let's complain.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. Let me just open this browser.
And I want to speak out to our buddy Matthew, who wrote us the email about the audio. We really, really appreciate it. We don't even think you were complaining. We appreciate your feedback. We love your listener show. You live right around the corner from me, so thank you for listening. And we are sorry about the audio. And thank you for reaching out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We really do enjoy the feedback. At least we know somebody's listening to the show.
Exactly. We had one listener last week at a bad show.
Poor
guy.
Never hold back from giving us feedback. That's the only way we're going to grow and learn. And, you know, we can take constructive criticism with the best of them. So it's all good.
We appreciate everybody.
Let's see, next story. This is the one that Doug started to talk about, and we'll get back into this now. But Disney Vacation Club eliminates membership extras for members who purchase indirectly. In a letter sent to members, Disney Vacation Club Senior Vice President Ken Potrock outlined a policy change for eligibility in membership extras. Effective April 4th, so this has already happened. Members who do not purchase their ownership interest directly from Disney Vacation Club will not have access to membership extras, such as exclusive member experiences and discounts. Current members, regardless of where they purchase their membership, will not be affected by the change. Okay, so I see. So going forward, so everybody else is grandfathered in. Till April 4th. After April 4th, if you purchase, you will be bound to this new policy. The move is attributed to Disney seeking to offer a premium advantage for the purchasing membership directly from Disney Vacation Club rather than the growing number of DVC resellers. Disney has been boosting membership extras this year as part of the DVC 25th anniversary. The Magic Kingdom recently hosted an after-hours event for DVC members, and a new member lounge will open this spring over at Epcot. So why don't you start us off, Doug? So what's your read on this whole...
It's just another money grab to me. I mean, I don't like it. I mean, what happens now, Dan, in 10 or 15 years, all of a sudden your kids decide that you don't want Disney no more, or the kids don't want to go, and you decide to sell, is Disney going to buy your membership back from
you? Yeah, I mean, probably not. I mean, they do have the right.
So it devalues what you have. So basically, if you do try to sell it now, it's going to be worth less for you because you don't have the same perks as what the new memberships.
Yeah, yeah, that is true at face value. It absolutely is true. I mean, you know, we all know there's two or three big, the timeshare store, and there's two or three other ones that are
DVC by resale.
And they've been in the marketplace pretty much since inception of DVC. And, you know, I know that you can, I mean, I'll just personally tell the story. I mean, we bought directly from Disney, and this is how sick I am, I guess. And, you know, you call this crazy. I know I could, well, back before they changed the way that you could buy from a third-party seller, like a DVC resale or whatever, there was no difference between buying from them or buying directly from Disney.
Except for a couple $1,000s
right.
more.
But what I'm saying, yes, and you're absolutely right. Yeah. I would never buy from a third-party seller. That's just me. I wanted to buy through Disney, even though I knew I was paying, let's say, $8 more a point or whatever it was. I cost me and my family several thousand dollars more, or I paid several thousand dollars more than I could have if I went to one of these other companies. And at that time, there was no difference. You couldn't tell.
Because I almost bought three or four times from them. We were ready to push the button. The only reason it never happened is because my dream of moving to Florida.
Right. You had other priorities, and you know, you're still chasing that dream. And, you know, and again, DVC is not for everybody, and we've talked about this 1,000 times.
And plus, me being a TA, I get deals, and that was I always got deals, right. So I never felt it was my route. But I did think a couple times. We almost bought points at Hilton Head a couple times. We almost bought at Boardwalk. We bought three or four times. I was ready to push the button.
Yeah, and you know, and like I said, that's fine. In some families it's for, some it isn't. I mean, I'm so happy we did what we did when we did it. And, you know, basically at this point, I'm just...
I wouldn't have had remorse either. Yeah. I would have loved it.
Knowing you're part of the quote-unquote club, and I don't mean the vacation club, but just owning a little piece of Disney kind of in a way, it made me feel good. And as much as we went to Disney, you know, it was more for the feeling of it than it was for the, gee, is this a sound financial investment? Well, it's not an investment, but...
I think it was for you, it was more of knowing you would have
exactly.
to go. Like it locked your family into you going because you had to go. And not being smart, but that's the only reason I wanted to do it. Because it would have made me go every year. Like, but I knew I'd make myself go anyway, but it was just the point this way. It was like etched in stone. It was like you married
exactly. It more symbolically than it was, you know. And again, if you talk to any financial analyst, generally speaking, it's
not
a good
deal.
Timeshares are notorious. People roll their eyes when you say, hey, I got a timeshare in Aruba. And, you know, they look at you like, oh, you fell for it, huh? You know, and we all get that. And the Disney product is not a cheap product. It's a premium product. It's expensive. The interest rates were high. I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons why, you know, anybody with any financial savvy would say, you know, that really wasn't a wise investment. But like you said, Doug, for us, what we choose to do with our disposable income and having a little card that says I'm a member of, you know, the DVC Vacation Club makes us feel good. And that's what we like to do. So we bought and we chose to buy. But my point in this was that we, you know, I knew at the time there were third-party companies that I could purchase the same membership and the same amount of points from, but I would rather deal directly with a Disney employee, be dealing with people that work for the Walt Disney World Company. And it sounds crazy, you know, so you say, Dennis, you know, you paid, you know, $4,000 more, whatever it was. I'm making up a number. I don't know what it was. And I would say, yes, I did. And that just made me feel good. So I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that's just the way I felt. Now, going forward, or we were were talking about this offline. They pulled back some of the perks a couple of years ago. Disney started reining in on these, what are some of the other membership perks, like the top of the Bay Lake Tower. You got the Top of the World Lounge where DVC members exclusively can go up there. I'm assuming that under this new program, those that didn't buy directly from Disney are not going to be permitted to go up there. So that's a huge, in my view, obviously doing this on purpose, because what they want to do is drive people from the third party sellers and say, well, wait a minute, if I'm going to spend several thousand dollars, I want access to all those things. So maybe they'll purchase directly through Disney. Now, some won't purchase at all and they'll lose money in theory, but I got to believe that's Disney's thinking. They want everyone purchasing directly from Disney.
See, but it's impossible to do it. So what happens is the family that gets divorced, that sells it, or they bought it for their kids and their kids have no interest. There's a ton, like Disney don't have any boardwalk inventory left. You only have what they're building now. Everything else, when they start building the next one, the last one's already sold out. So where are they getting this inventory from?
I mean,
so it helps Disney, because what they're doing is they're saving money because they don't have to build bigger lounges. Now they can just exclude people because they don't have to do as much for you, because it's less people that they have to kowtow to, if you understand what I'm saying. But it screws the owners, because now you basically, your membership devalues it. So now if I go to the timeshare store to buy it, the points are worth even less now.
I would think so, because you're not going to be able to. Well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, if you're just looking at it from what is my nightly room cost going to be, you'll still get a bargain from a third.
But if I'm savvy, I'm going to say, well, I'll offer on this because I don't get the same perks. I can't go drink at the top of the lounge bar. Now, I'll be staying next to so-and-so, but he wants to go out and watch fireworks. I can't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I don't even know how this all works, and it always kind of, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I never really understood how third-party people could buy it and sell it, but I guess it has to do with real estate laws or whatever, that it's just like any other timeshare.
You own it. You can write it off. You write it off in your taxes, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we can write the interest
off. It's home ownership.
And
you
all
own
that
it.
Stuff. Yep, yep.
Yeah, you own it. So how it works is, like I said, I mean, I was so close with the timeshare store multiple times, or DVC by resale.
Yep.
And I was talking to them, and most of it is a lot, I'd say probably they said 75 or 80% of it is the divorces, because they got to sell it in the divorce.
Right.
And the thing of it is why is it worth anything less? It would be like, okay, if I buy a Ford and it gets a recall, they're saying, you bought it from another dealer, I'm not fixing it. Let the brakes fail and you run off the road. I really don't care about you. How come Disney can do whatever the hell they want?
That's the way they've always done it, I guess.
Well, it's to the point where this is just wrong, dude. You bought this property. I go out and buy it. And under their logic, only a new home should be able to have the same values as an old home. Nobody should buy an old home in this world. Everything should be bought brand new, and then they should get rid of all the used inventory down there. Then anything that isn't owned, they should just default on it. Close the building down.
Now you're talking above me. I don't get real estate is when it gets to that stuff. I have no idea.
But my point is, Disney has, once they've opened up the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian, they were no longer selling. You couldn't go to Disney and call and buy points for the boardwalk.
I don't know enough about it, but inventory does come up from time to time. But generally speaking, you're correct. It's on a point system, and when all the points are sold, in effect, the resort is sold out, they call it.
Exactly. So you couldn't call. My point is, you couldn't call up Disney tomorrow and say, "Hi, I'm Dennis Conroy. I have 22 years left on my vacation club. You buy it back now, Disney."
Yeah.
They're not
buying
it back.
They do. They do buy inventory. What happens is, under your scenario, right? If say you wanted to buy a boardwalk, you'd put your name on a list and you'd say, "I wanted 100 points or whatever."
But that's when people default.
Well, however they acquire the points. Yeah. They can't buy them back, and they do buy them back because points do become available even for the sold out. But it's not like they're sitting there. You're right. They're gone. They're sold out. But points do come available, but you got to get on like a wait list is what it boils down to.
Yeah, but those points are becoming available because people defaulted on their loan.
Yeah, or whatever. There's other reasons why, too. But you're right.
The point is, if I'm going to say I'm getting divorced and I'm going to default on my loan because neither one of us are going to pay for it, I can't call Disney up and say, I don't want this no more, buy it back.
Right, yeah. Well, you can't force
anybody
to buy anything. They could buy it if they choose.
But I can go to the timeshare store and sell it. So why should the people be – so as ownership then – so basically you can't sell your stuff no more is basically what they're saying because it's not worth what you paid for. It devalued it is my point. They hurt you again to help themselves is my point on this.
I disagree with that. I mean, but I would also say on the front end of this whole thing, I don't think Disney ever thought that people would buy them from a third party. I mean, it was never intended. It was a Disney product.
Well, they're that smart. How did they not think that? But my point is, they had to have because where did they think it was? Did they think they are the most narrow-minded and absent-minded company that's a genius of ever. Did they think of the 50,000 units or 10,000 units they sold that everybody would own them and never need to get rid of them? Like, everybody would stay wealthy. Right. Like, God forbid, Dan, you and your wife lost your jobs. You don't know what's going to happen in life. So under their narrow-minded thinking that nobody was ever going to lose this. They were always going to give it to their grandkids. Nobody's going to default or have to sell it, or nobody was ever going to get tired of Disney after going 10
straight
years.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Doug, is Disney does buy the points back. They just buy them at less and sell them for more to other owners that want them. So they will buy them back, particularly like Boardwalk Beach Club. Those are like so popular that Disney will, I'm just using it's stupid math here. They'll give you $10 for them and sell them to another prospective owner for $15 and make the profit. They do that all the time.
So if you decided tomorrow you did not want to carry this loan no more, they would buy yours back.
I wouldn't say they would. They could, and they do.
Yeah, but that's what they usually don't.
Not say they usually don't. Like I said, now Saratoga, probably not. Beach Club, Boardwalk, they would suck up in a minute.
Yeah, it's just the point that it's just
devalued. And I agree with what you're saying.
It's a monopoly. It's basically they're allowed to
do
whatever
they
want.
And they do because they own the company.
But it's still – well, that's like saying – okay, that's like saying mobile owns the oil. So they could tomorrow just say $10 – they want to raise the prices $500 and the government would do nothing. No. The reason we have a government is to stop monopolies. It was like when radio stations wanted to merge and things like that, they'd be blocked because the whole country is not rental in the total of monopolies. There's things that would be like every bank merging to become one.
The
government would never allow that.
Now they're all good. Everybody's buying.
They went bankrupt because what they did to people, kind of like what you're getting done to you. Disney devalued what your
DVCs
were.
Yeah, Doug, and I'm not disputing that. You're absolutely right. But when you say how can they do whatever they want, I mean, they can. They own the company. It's their company.
Yeah, well,
you don't have a right, or I'm not picking on you personally. Nobody
but
can
that's
tell
my
them
point.
What to do. If they want to do that,
the government.
They can do
well,
it.
There's rules and regulations for everything.
So are you suggesting they're breaking the law by doing what they're doing?
I don't think it's fair to be able to tell you that it should be against the law. When you bought into this, you're going to go buy it. When they sold this originally, it came with certain things. And now you're a DVC member, and you're being told you can't use any of the DVC lounges or anything else that's available.
Well, I can because I bought through Disney.
But the point is, well, if I want to buy Saratoga Springs and Disney has none, and I want that as my home resort, I can't get what you got.
That's true.
That's not fair.
But it doesn't have to be fair, Doug. Life isn't fair.
It's just wrong. It's 100% wrong. It's another thing that them being the big bad bully again.
That's my point. That is true. And they're a big company like hundreds of others, and that's the way business works. And it stinks for the little guy like us, but that's the way business works. Let's move on.
I'm done. I'm over.
This is a more happy story. First, look at Tiffin's signature restaurant menu. Let's see here. Disney has shared new information today with details of the menu for the upcoming Tiffin's signature restaurant at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Starters include a lobster popcorn thigh curry soup with basil and peanuts.
That sounds good.
Asia and Africa. Two marinated grilled octopus. I'm not doing octopus. Sustainable seasonal fish, crudo, South America. And a salad of roasted baby beets and goat cheese with walnut granola and sun-dried cherry vinaigrette, North America. Entrees include berber, however you say that, lamb chop and mustard greens, lentil stew and meat chutney, Berkshire pork tenderloin, and with guacamole tamale, hominy succotash, and red mole sauce, South America. Miso glazed black cod for forbidden rice and steamed bok choy with tiramisu sauce from Asia and grilled head-on shrimp. We don't like the head-on shrimp.
Here we go again.
Get the heads off. With tomatoes, roasted fennel, olives, sea urchin. No, thank you. Butter sauce from Europe. And for vegetarians, they have a roasted market vegetable curry with quinoa, zucchini, and lime chutney. Brings a taste of Asia. Oh boy. Africa, Asia, and South America are the inspiration for the drink lineup, including handcrafted cocktails and beers, non-alcoholic beverages, include exotic fruit-flavored lemonades, Asian and African premium loose-leaf teas and coffee beans from Colombia, Ethiopia, Indonesia, and Tunisia. The Nomad Lounge, with 55 seats inside and 46 seats outside, will offer 6 small bites. Yeah, this sounds a lot like Spice Road, maybe.
Table. They're merging a little bit of everything at this place.
Including a vegetarian summer roll, a seared Wagyu beef skewer, honey-glazed coriander spice pork ribs, Indian butter chicken wings, seasonal fish balls with shiso peppers, and house-made head cheese and chicken liver pate.
And with chutney.
Tiffin's will be opening in the coming months with reservations and precise opening date to be announced.
Don't do that, Disney. Don't be precise.
Yeah, I just read the story too well that burned them. But I think opening a restaurant is probably a little more straightforward than doing the light.
Exactly. Yeah, and the one place you mispronounced it was Tanzania.
Tanzania, okay.
There you go. But I'll tell you what, the beef tenderloin looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, having just read the menu for the first time, I mean, there's a lot of what I would call exotic stuff.
It's kind of like Jico.
I would say. And most of it, although it sounds scary, I'm sure it's delicious and I would like it. You just got to give it a try, I guess, is the way I'd put it.
Absolutely. You'd enjoy a lot more of the stuff than you think you would. With these exotic menus, you just do it, and it's an experience. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but I have not been disappointed. I'd say like 95% of the time I'm
back. Yeah, and you know, we've seen sometimes with these restaurants where they'll open up with a lot larger menu or maybe different things, and then they kind of pull back on it based on guest experience or what people are saying. But yeah, I think you got to be a little bit adventurous when you go into something like this and try some different stuff. I mean, like you said, at Jico or even at Boma, let's say, I mean, I've tried stuff on that buffet that if I just read it like I just did, I would never try it. But if you force yourself to take a little spoonful of it or something, you might say, wow, that's got the best flavor. I've never tasted something so delicious in my life. So you got to, you know, allow for being adventurous, I think, in some of these things.
Absolutely. You're on vacation. You want to try things. I can, you know, have the normal fare at home, you know. I look forward to trying all
Absolutely.
This stuff.
Absolutely. And, hey, go ahead.
Hopefully in October, then, we'll be eating at Tiffin's and watching River
that
of Lights.
That would be awesome.
And with no crowd around.
nobody will be there, just us.
Well, that's the other thing I'm hoping for, too, if we decide to go down Food and Wine with you.
What's that?
With the Animal Kingdom and all being open at that time, and with everything, River of Lights and Avatar Land and all that, Food and Wine might be a little less crowded this year.
Yeah, good point. People are going to be trying to do some openings.
And Disney Springs being open?
Yeah, good. Yeah, that very well could be the case. And that's just a good overall point. I mean, the more stuff there is to do, it's going to spread out the masses. And, you know, you can't be everywhere at once, right?
And I know for sure, with everything that's open, we'll find a place we haven't eaten at yet to try.
I think we counted them up. I mean, there's probably 50 places we've never, maybe not the same ones, but between us that we haven't eaten at yet. And that's pretty amazing, given how much we've gone.
Yeah, and between us, we've probably eaten at
100. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's crazy how many places are there, but whatever.
I can't wait to get my feedback on.
I hear that. Yeah, and the next story, I mean, we mentioned it, that Tom Stagg resigned from the Walt Disney Company. And again, do you want to go into some more, Doug, or do you think we...
No, he just said he's moving on. He's going somewhere else, so he's not retiring. So apparently he got something upsetting with the Disney Company. He's not, they're not saying, Bob Iger said in a statement that he'd made an important contribution. They're going to miss him. He's been a colleague. They've been colleagues for more than 20 years, so he's been there a real long time. So is Iger at this point. But it just I'm just speculating. I think he don't like the way the direction the company's going.
Yeah, could be. You know, it just could.
After all these years, or he sees Iger said he's going stepping down in 18. Maybe he sees Iger's not going to.
Yeah, I mean, he's had several extensions. I mean, he's had, you know, he was, I think when he first took over, it was just a 5-year deal and he was going to retire. And then they, you know, the board of trustees or whatever, gave him an extension or asked him to stay after all the, you know, the work he did with Pixar and Marvel. And, you know, and then just recently with this news that Staggs would be leaving, I guess they've asked him to stay on a couple more years. So,
yeah, I mean, it hasn't been announced, but that's the way it looks like it's trending towards.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe he got frustrated that, you know, he wants to be the number one guy and call the shots, and, this, you know, his current boss is not in any hurry to leave. Or you're right, sometimes people, they have a difference in philosophy, and they don't like the direction of, you know, what the company's doing, and they're going to go somewhere else. So we'll see if he shows up in Universal or something. Who knows?
Yeah, the shareholders seem to be happy.
Yeah.
Even the only thing they're unhappy with, the money they're making, and then you'll hear them pissing and moaning that ESPN didn't bring in the profit it should have. It only made like $500 million this year instead of $590 million.
It's crazy. Yeah, you know it's what? Not even they won or not won by that, made or lost money. It's how much they made. It's like it's not enough just to make the money.
Yeah, I mean, I only made $100,000 this year. I'm pissed off I didn't make two. I'm just happy to be in the green. I mean, in the black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You and me both. So, anyways, I'm sure we're going to hear more on this. There's obviously more to this story, and it may come out. And you know, it may, even if it doesn't come out through the quote unquote Disney community, I mean, you know, the Walt Disney Company. It's
somewhere.
A Fortune 500 company. You know, the Wall Street Journal, and you know they'll all be all over this story, so we'll probably hear more about what's really going on here.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to be it. That's all of our 3-hour tour. I'm going to step off my soapbox. I'm yelling and screaming over here like a nut job. We really appreciate you guys following us and listening. We consider you guys all friends. Please leave your comments on our email. You can email us at wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com, or please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. You can find me, Dennis, and John. You can find John at Beer Solo on Twitter. You can find Dennis at Oak Matter on Twitter, and you can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. And that'll be it for this week, guys. Have a wonderful week.
See you later, Doug, and talk to you listeners next week.
Hey guys, we are joined by John Peters, and you know, as always, Dennis is with me. John's in the park today. We're gonna try to guess where John is with the sounds of the park, and we'll see how dumb we are that we can't figure out where he is.
So what you're actually saying is John is on the grounds of Walt Disney World. We don't necessarily know that he's in a park. Would that be accurate?
Exactly.
You are correct. I'm at Walt Disney World, but.
Okay.
Yeah. We're basically playing Where in the World is John Peters in Walt Disney World.
All right, so
we'll have to get some clues. So how are you doing today, John? What time did you get there?
I got here about half an hour ago. took our time, and yeah, we're gonna head over. Well, we'll talk about that later.
I tried to trick him, Dan. I tried to get him talking.
Yeah, he almost put his foot in that snare trap, but yeah, the last minute.
So what we're gonna do is John's gonna go to an area. He's gonna play some ambient sounds, and we're gonna try to guess where he is by asking clues, and then whoever gets it first wins no prize.
Right. You can come back and do a show next week, the winner of this competition.
There you go.
So you may not want to win.
So how's the weather there in the Magic Kingdom today?
I've heard the Magic Kingdom's beautiful, just like where I'm wandering, or where it could be here. I don't know.
How's the weather, though?
That's gorgeous. It's about 75 right now, and it's sunny.
Sounds good. Now, is that... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, was that your question, Doug, or are you just making small talk?
No, I was just making small talk so he could get to where the music is. I knew he was roaming to where he wanted to go hide.
Well, I'm here by a speaker. I can say that. So let me see if I can hold the phone up and get some idea. Let's see if you can hear it. Hold on a second. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Did you get it here or no?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay.
Where do you think he is, Dan?
Every time the music comes on, somebody talks or something. But
hold on a second. All right, did you get a little listen that time?
We barely heard it that time, Johnny. The first time you did it was really good.
All right, it's cycling over to a new one. Hold on a second.
That's okay.
All right, how about that?
All right, Doug, you're first. So do you want to lodge a guess, or are you still listening?
I'm trying to narrow it down. So are you in the Hollywood Studios?
No.
Okay. I thought that was Hollywood Studios music, so I'm way off.
Okay. So are we going to move on to another clue, a verbal clue, or is it just going to be the ambient music and then we just keep guessing? How are we going
to
go?
Well, you got to ask him and he can answer the clue. Try to get a hint from him.
Okay. All right.
I got us completely out of the Hollywood Studios, Dan. So.
Okay. Yeah, that was helpful.
Yes.
John, are you inside or outside?
Outside.
You're outside. All right. That was my question. Doug, you're up.
Okay. Are you in... Epcot?
No.
Ooh. Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay. Are you at the Boardwalk Resort?
Yes.
Ooh, very good, Dan. Good call.
Okay. But we're going to be more specific. Is that...
Well, you can make a guess. You got one right, so you get to ask again.
Okay. I'm going to say you're on the back deck of the Boardwalk, looking out over where the Friendship Boats are, that outside... patio or whatever you'd call it.
You're a winner. Bing, bing, bing. Yep. Yeah, there you go. I was waiting for the boats to honk the horn and you would have...
that would have been good.
That was very good, John.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the only reason I was going to go Main Street USA because that music kind of sounded like it, but I know that song wasn't on the track. And then I thought of what would fit with that time period, and the music kind of reminded me reminded me of something you might hear on the Boardwalk, so that's why I chose that.
Yeah, I thought it was the bands playing over it. You know how the band plays the older music over by the Brown Derby and Hollywood Studios? I thought that's where it was. I knew it wasn't the Magic Kingdom because when I asked him at the beginning, he slipped up, and I knew there was no way in the Magic Kingdom, so that's why I went to the studios first.
Right. No, that was awesome, John. Nice job, and I appreciate you taking a ride over to the Boardwalk. Let me ask you a question. What? Just out of curiosity, why did you choose to go to the Boardwalk?
We have this thing where we park at Hollywood Studios and then slowly walk over to Epcot, get to World Showcase about 11 o'clock when it opens up. And so ever since you guys been talking about that walk, we do it all the freaking time. So,
awesome.
We usually park over there and then just slowly mark your way over here. And the Boardwalk Bakery is one of the few spots where they have root beer on fountain. So I stop and get my wife a root beer because that's the only soda she drinks. So,
well, at least you got to take care of the wife, John.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, usually we take our time, wander over here. I get a coffee and get her a soda, and so I figured it was a good spot to see if I couldn't stump you guys. But you got it pretty quick. So
yeah, it wasn't bad. Dennis pulled that one out. I got us out of the two parks.
Well, yeah,
well, there you go.
I knew it wasn't the Animal Kingdom.
Right. And yeah, I also thought John would play it that way. I just had a sneaky suspicion that he would stay out of one of the four main parks. I thought he might throw a water park, and then it really throws for a loop. But I just thought for some reason you would refrain because, you know, in four guesses, or three guesses, really, we would have nailed the park.
Was that the Friendship Boats?
That was.
Yeah, I heard the horn blow. Now, where are you headed? In Epcot for the day? You headed to Epcot for the day?
Yeah. We're gonna try a couple more items over at the Flower Garden Festival and make our way. But we got Toy Story, Twilight Zone, and Star Tours over at Hollywood Studios late noon.
Okay, so you're gonna
up there.
We're starting to lose you a little bit there, Johnny.
Okay. All right. How's that? Better?
No, you're gone. We lost you. You're very staticky.
I wonder why.
There you go. Now you're back to normal. Think you swallowed a frog or something. So what are you doing at Epcot for the afternoon?
We're heading over to Epcot. We're gonna try some more of the Flower and Garden Festival items, and then we'll head back over to Hollywood Studios. We got a fast pass this afternoon over at Hollywood for Toy Story and Star Tours and Twilight Zone. So.
And, well, you'll get to be out of the upgrades to the new Fast Pass. Did you check that out too? You know you can do it. Supposedly now you don't have to have all three picked.
Yeah, I heard you can just get one, or and then even you can update them or use your app to try to get some more if you want. So.
Yeah, and then you don't have to go to the kiosk after you use the three. So if there's actually something else to do at the studio.
I was going to say, what else would I possibly want to do? I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster will be gone, so there's really nothing else I'd want to do there. So.
Okay. So, well, you got to let us know on what different items you get over at the festival day. You going to try something different?
Yeah, we're going to try two or three new items, and then I don't even know. I mean, I remember everything we ate the first time, and it was good, but I don't know if there was one standout that was worth really heading back over for. So maybe the shrimp and grits. I might hit me one of those, because that was pretty good, but
That's what I was going to say. You guys, I like that you're going to be a little adventurous and not try the same stuff over and over again.
No, we always try to get something new, so.
Well, you'll be able to review it on next week's show for us.
Sounds good.
So. You have fun today, John. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah. That was awesome. Maybe we'll do some more of these. And now that we kind of got the ground rules set, we can. It'll be a little better next time. But yeah, that was awesome. Thank you for doing that, John.
Hey, no problem. 2 weeks from today, we're heading back out, so we'll play it again.
Lucky you. Rub it in, John.
Yeah. Oh, you got to wait 2 weeks. Wow, the torture.
it's horrible. So.
And make sure you let us know what you tried, and we can eventually put it on the website and get it on Facebook today or tomorrow, put the pictures on.
Yeah, I'll get some stuff done on Facebook today as we wander around. So.
That sounds good, John, and we really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Sounds like a winner.
And tell Mrs. Peters, thank you so much for letting us steal you, or she's probably happy. She's been paying me off to get rid of you.
It's a good thing you don't catch me in the afternoon when I got a couple of beers in me. Then, then we'd have a good time. So.
I think the listeners would like that even more.
Yeah, that might be an interesting show.
Yeah, she said, can't you get him on the show a little more so I can go shopping more?
Yeah. Exactly. Just show up and pay the bill. I'll be all right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, John, have some fun. We look forward to hearing what you had next week, and we will talk to you later. Bye, John. guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.